Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the psalm which was chanted previously. So far, the text. Dear friends in Christ, there they were again, the elderly couple that used to come every day throughout the summer to the public swimming pool, the young soon-to-be seminary student who worked there over the summer for his summer job couldn't help but notice the couple on a daily basis. But today was a special day, for it was announced that today the couple was celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. The young student, who had been married just a little under a year, contemplated what it would mean to be married for 50 years. And so during the small public celebration that was taking place, he approached the elderly husband and said, "Sir, excuse me, I was wondering if you had any advice for a virtual newlywed on how to have a long and happy marriage." The elderly husband chuckled for a moment and he said, "Young man, my advice to you can be summed up in one word." "One word," thought the student, "it must be love." "Compromise," said the elderly husband. "Compromise," said the young student. "That's right, compromise. I do everything she says." As the student chuckled and walked away, he concluded that perhaps there was more truth in that statement than even the elderly husband understood. For that husband's love for his wife was clearly evident to all who observed them. And over those 50 years, her ways had become his ways had become her ways, to the point where he truly was happy and content doing whatever she said. We have a similar description in our text today from the psalmist. Not a description of a marriage relationship, but instead the description of the relationship the psalmist has with his God. "I do everything he says" could be a fitting description of that relationship. It's a relationship that springs from a strong and fervent love for God. If you've not had the opportunity to read Psalm 119 in its entirety recently, I invite and encourage you to do so. Throughout that psalm, the psalmist confesses and professes God to be his creator and the source of his salvation. He acknowledges God as the only source of his help and comfort and defense. And he expresses a strong desire and hunger for the Word of God, which he describes as a lamp for his feet and a light for his path. It is a wonderful relationship rooted in love, not forced or coerced in any way. And in our text for today, the smaller section of this psalm, it's also readily apparent to all who read it that God had worked in the psalmist a strong and fervent faith. It was a faith that delighted in doing whatever God desired him to do. "This has been my practice," declares the psalmist, "that I keep your precepts." It was a faith that stood firm in the midst of public ridicule. "The arrogant mock me without restraint," psalmist says, "but I do not turn from your law." It was a faith that desired righteous behavior on the part of others as well. "Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have turned away and forsaken your law," says the psalmist. By this time, a logical conclusion, a logical reaction by all of us would be, "Give us such a faith." Throughout these Fridays in the fall quarter, We've been reviewing the Ten Commandments and Luther's explanation to those Ten Commandments. And we have seen how often we have failed to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind. How often we have failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Give us such a faith, O Lord. And then we come to chapel this morning. And we hear the psalmist say, "This has been my practice. I obey your precepts." And we think to ourselves, "But not as often as I should." We hear the psalmist say, "The arrogant mock me without restraint, and yet I do not turn from your law." And we think to ourselves, "No one is mocking me, and I still turn from your law every day." And we hear the psalmist say that he desires also that others would be righteous, that indignation grips him at the arrogant who have turned their way and have forsaken the laws of God. And we think to ourselves, "Frankly, I'm so busy on a daily basis just keeping my head above water, I really don't give it much thought." Give us such a faith, O Lord. But our text for today points us to the one who would come after the psalmist, the one who would indeed practice perfect righteous indignation at those who have forsaken God's law, the one who would fashion a whip out of cords and drive the money changers and the merchants out of the temple courts, the one who would expose the religious hypocrisy of his day, criticizing those who would place a heavy burden on the hearts of people and then fail to live up to the same standard themselves. Our text for today would point us to the one who would come after the psalmist, the one who would indeed endure the mocking and the scorning of so many, who would be mocked by the arrogant without restraint following his arrest. Remember how the soldiers mocked him. The one who would be jeered by the indignant who were standing around the cross as he hung there and gave his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Our text for today would point us to the one who comes after the psalmist, who indeed would perfectly obey all the precepts of his Father. This would be his undying practice and his perfect practice on our behalf. The one who said, "I have not come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." The one who said that he indeed should not follow his Father's will, but the will of the mission that the Father had placed before him. The one of whom it was written, "He was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin." In short, there is forgiveness for us because of the one who faced the indignation perfectly, the one who reacted against the religious hypocrisy of the day and was perfect in his righteous indignation, but especially the one whose practice it was to keep all of the precepts of his Father and then go and offer his life as the perfect payment for all of us. There is forgiveness now for each and every one of us as we perhaps are daily imperfect in our keeping of all of these precepts. As we at times indeed do not rise up in righteous indignation ourselves, and the times when we, even not being mocked, turned away from God's law, there is forgiveness through the one who did everything his Father had said. But our text today would also drive us to our knees, in the same recognition that the psalmist must have been driven to his knees, to recognize God as the only source of our comfort and strength and deliverance in this world. It is only with his power, his support, his strength, it is only that in him we can live and stand in this world, the context of sin that surrounds us, the old sinful nature that we still carry around, and the old evil foe that would attack us on a daily basis. Give us this faith, O Lord, we pray. Give us this faith that has that hunger and thirst for the Word of God, that has the desire to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest that Word, not as a mere academic exercise, or not so that we might attain a higher grade point average, but as an act of worship and adoration to our God, realizing we are reading, marking, and inwardly digesting the very words of life that we are preparing to proclaim. Give us this faith, O Lord, a faith that rises above spiritual complacency and experiences indignation at those who have forsaken your laws and turned away from them, but always with an eye, as Jesus always had an eye, toward the repentance and ultimate salvation of the sinner. Give us this faith, O Lord, the faith that moves us toward your ways and makes them our ways, the faith that turns us toward your desires and away from sinful desires, the faith whose thoughts, words, and deeds can be summarized as the psalmist summarized them. This has been my practice, that I obey your precepts. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes